لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد. I'd like to welcome the brothers and sisters, my respected elders, to today's talk, which is the second of our two talks. Inshallah, today's talk will be entitled "The Major Signs in the Day of Judgment." Will be delivered by our brother Abdulrahim Green from London in England. Just a few announcements before we have, inshallah, as I mentioned yesterday, next Saturday we'll have a sisters only halakha or sisters only talk, which will be held in the Islamic school, which will be at 3 p.m. next Saturday, not this Saturday, next Saturday inshallah. We'll have the talk inshallah now for about 45 minutes inshallah, and then after that there will be time for questions and answers. We'll hand out pieces of paper and pencils inshallah. Jazakallah khair.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له وما يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله وبعد خير الحديث كتاب الله تعالى وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم والشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. We begin by praising Allah. We praise Him, we seek His help, and we ask for His forgiveness. We seek refuge with Allah from the evil of ourselves and from the evil consequences of our evil actions. And I bear witness and testify that Allah alone is worthy of being worshipped, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is the worshipper of Allah and his final messenger. And after that, the best speech is the book of Allah, and the best way is the way of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the worst of all the affairs are the newly introduced matters. And all the newly introduced matters in the religion, they are innovations, and the innovations are misguidance, and the misguidance is in the fire. My dear brothers and sisters, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on you. Today's topic, the major signs before the Day of Judgment, is following on from the talk I delivered, the lecture I delivered last time I was here, which was about the minor signs before the Day of Judgment. And the first thing that we want to notice, my brothers and sisters, is that many of the signs which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam foretold and predicted that would indicate the coming of the last day, they have already taken place. In fact, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the signs of the Day of Judgment, or the signs of the last hour, they will come one after the other, just like a necklace of beads. If a necklace of beads is broken, you see how the beads, they spill off the necklace one after the other. This is how the signs will come, like this, quickly, quickly, quickly. We discussed in the previous lecture about the deterioration and the corruption of mankind, the division of the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and many other trials and tribulations that will afflict the humanity. And we also mentioned, and this equally applies, my brothers and sisters, may Allah have mercy on you, and it applies equally, if not more so, to the major signs before the Day of Judgment. We mentioned that the only people who will be saved from these trials, the only people who will be saved from these fitan, are the true believers. They are the true worshippers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are the people who understand and comprehend the book of Allah and the way, the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, according to its correct understanding, according to its correct interpretation. Because we have heard many lectures given by many different people on the signs before the Day of Judgment. And we find, brothers and sisters, that many of the interpretations and many of the explanations that are given are not from the Quran or from the Sunnah or from the understanding of the companions, or even the understanding of the early generation of scholars. We find people have come out with many fanciful concepts and fanciful notions about, for example, Ad-Dajjal. And we will talk about these things as we proceed through the lecture, insha'Allah, bi-idhnillah. We should also remember that these signs, these major signs before the Day of Judgment, which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam foretold about, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also warned us that whoever does not believe before these signs take place, then belief will not benefit them afterwards. Whoever does not make tawbah, whoever does not make repentance to Allah from their sins and from their disobedience to Allah, before these major signs come, then their repentance will be of no use to them. We are living in the days without doubt, the last days. We are living in these times. But in fact, the reality is, instead of the Muslims returning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, instead of the Muslims leaving the sins, instead of Muslims leaving the paths of error and misguidance and innovation and deviation, we find rather the Muslims are going further away from the reality, further away from the truth, further away from the sunnah. And it should be the opposite. If we are aware, if we are awake, if we understand the reality, if all these things are to us, brothers and sisters, are nice stories, interesting stories, fairy stories. We talk about Ad-Dajjal, we talk about Al-Mahdi, we talk about Isa coming. But for many people, they are just stories, rather than impending realities. No, what we are talking about today, brothers and sisters, is something that could start taking place in our generation, in our children's time. This is the reality. This is how we should think of it. The first of the great and the most strange signs that will take place before the Day of Judgment, and the two of them the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, whichever comes first, the other one will follow it quickly. The first is the appearance, not the first in order, but one will come after the other, whichever comes first. The first one that we will mention is the appearance of the beast. Is the appearance of the beast from the earth. There will appear a beast from the earth. We don't know exactly the appearance of this beast, but it will be absolutely extraordinary. And this beast will carry the staff of Moses, and it will have the ring of Sulaiman, the staff of Musa and the ring of Sulaiman. And he will strike with the ring of Sulaiman the noses of the kuffar and disfigure their faces. And he will write on the forehead of every kafir, kafir. And on the head of every Muslim, Muslim. So two people sitting at the table, they will be able to say, O kafir, O mu'min. This is the first of the signs, and the beast will address the people. This beast will address the people. The second is the rising of the sun from the place of its setting, or the rising of the sun from the west. Now here we have the first of the strange ta'wil, the strange explanation of this hadith, that we have heard some people saying that this means that Islam will rise and be reinvigorated from the west. However, an examination of the actual hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will make it absolutely clear that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is talking about the actual sun. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting with his companions, the sun was about to set, and he said to them, do you know where the sun goes? They said, Allah and His Messenger know best. And they say, the sun goes and prostrates before the throne of Ar-Rahman. And when it prostrates before the throne of Allah, the sun asks permission to carry on its way. And a day will come when it will ask permission three times and no permission will be given to it. And the sun will say, how can I benefit the people now? And then the sun will be ordered to rise from the place of from whence it set. So it's talking about the sun, the literal sun. Because the Prophet pointed to the sun when it was setting. Brothers and sisters, think about it. Think about it for a minute. What if tomorrow morning is the morning when the sun rises from the place of setting? Is there any single reason why it couldn't be tomorrow? Or the next day? Or next weekend? Is there any reason that it couldn't be? How will it be that we wake up and we find the sun rising from its place of setting? And we didn't make tawbah to Allah, because after that, it'll be too late to abandon your taking mortgages and your selling alcohol and your going to discos and your sinning and your disobeying Allah and your backbiting and your slandering and your lying and your cheating and your stealing and your deviating yourself and your family from the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It will be too late, brothers and sisters, to make tawbah to Allah. Because when the sun rises from the west, your repentance will not benefit you. And who knows, it could be tomorrow morning. Wallahi, sometimes, brothers, I think about that, sisters. I think, in the middle of the night, I think maybe tomorrow is the day. I look at the horizon, and I'm thinking, will the sun set from here, or will it? Will the sun rise from here, or will it rise from there? We don't know. This is how it should be. These things should be an impending reality for us, to make us realize that our life is short, this world is short, the last day is very close, it is very near. These are the first two extraordinary signs before the Day of Judgment. The other sign, which is not of such an extraordinary nature, is the coming of Al-Mahdi. The coming of Al-Mahdi. Most of the scholars, in fact, all of the scholars of hadith have agreed that Al-Mahdi will come in the last days. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke about him. The Prophet said that he will be from my family. He will be descended from Fatima. And Ali ibn Talib, in an authentic narration, mentioned that he will be descended from the children of Hassan. From the children of Hassan. His name will be the same name as the name of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Was Ali ibn Talib will be the same as the name of your Prophet? And his father's name will be the same as the name of the father of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So his name will be Muhammad ibn Abdullah. He will be from the family of the Prophet, descended from Al-Hassan. He will have an aquiline nose and a broad forehead. And just as there was injustice on the earth, he will bring justice on the earth. And when he comes, and when he rules as a just ruler, there will be so much wealth that there will be no one to accept the sadaqah. A man will want to go out giving charity, but he will not find anyone who is there to accept it. This is how wealth will become increased so much. So there is no doubt about the coming of Al-Mahdi. And most of the scholars believe that Al-Mahdi will come just before Ad-Dajjal. And there are some hadith to indicate that. That Al-Mahdi will come just before Ad-Dajjal. So the next major sign that we want to talk about, the sign, the major signs of the last day, of the last hour, is Ad-Dajjal. This is a very important topic. It is very important topic, the topic of Ad-Dajjal. It's important because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself gave it importance to the extent that he made it wajib, an obligation upon every Muslim to seek refuge with Masih al-Dajjal in every single one of your prayers. There is a dua that should be said at the end of the salah, and part of that dua is to seek refuge with Allah from Masih al-Dajjal, the fitna of Masih al-Dajjal, the trials, the tribulations of Masih al-Dajjal. The companion said that sometimes the Prophet would talk about al-Dajjal in such a way that we thought that we would never be able to survive it. We were so frightened, we were terrified of al-Dajjal. And other times the Prophet would talk about al-Dajjal as if he was totally insignificant. As if he was insignificant. The reality is here that the trials and the tribulations of al-Dajjal, as we will describe them, will in fact be great. But his effect on the true believers, only the true believers, only the people guided with correct knowledge, with correct and good understanding, only they are going to be saved from this fitna of al-Dajjal. Because many Muslims will follow him. In fact, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned about the Khawarij. The Khawarij, the dogs of hellfire, the people who make takfir upon the Muslims, who call the Muslims kafirs, who call the believers kafirs. He said about these people that the last of them will fight with al-Dajjal. The last of them will fight with al-Dajjal. They will fight with him. So his fitna will be great. Many, many people will be taken in by him and fooled by him. Except the believers. Except the true believers. So let us now first talk about al-Dajjal. Let us first of all talk about... Now many times we have heard and we have read in books the claim that there is two aspects to al-Dajjal. There is Dajjal the system and Dajjal the individual. I'm sure most of you have heard this. There is al-Dajjal the system, meaning the system of al-Dajjal, and al-Dajjal the individual. They claim that the coming of al-Dajjal, Masih al-Dajjal, will be preceded by a system that is laying the way for his coming. And they claim that this Western society represents the system of al-Dajjal. And they say, look, on the dollar bill, there is a picture of a pyramid with one eye. You see? Al-Dajjal. Okay? But the reality is, brothers and sisters, although this sounds very interesting, and they give lots of ta'wil and say, oh, this and that, and look at this and look at that, there is absolutely no evidence whatsoever from the Qur'an or from the Sunnah or from the understanding of the companions or even from history or even necessarily from the Aql, if we look at history, for this. There is no evidence. There is no evidence for this. There are some indications that the times in which al-Dajjal will come will be times of great confusion. Let us read in this regard a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which has been reported by Anas ibn Malik. And he said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the time of al-Dajjal will be years of confusion. The time of al-Dajjal will be years of confusion. People will believe a liar. Please listen to this hadith. And there is another hadith very similar to this as well. People will believe a liar and disbelieve one who tells the truth. People will distrust one who is trustworthy and they will trust one who is treacherous. And the Ruwaybida will have a say. And the Ruwaybida will have a say. And someone asked, who are the Ruwaybida? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, those who rebel against Allah and will have a say in general affairs. In another narration that is almost exactly the same as this one, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned the times of fitna, that there will come a time of fitna, of civil strife of between people. And the hadith mentions the same thing. The truthful will be disbelieved, the liar will be believed, the trustworthy will be not trusted, the untrustworthy will be so on. The Prophet ﷺ mentioned that. And he mentioned again, and the Ruwaybida will speak out. Who are the Ruwaybida? Every ignorant person who talks about the affairs of the people. The ignorant, ignoble person who speaks out about public affairs. Subhanallah. Is this not describing our times today? Is this not describing our condition today? Don't we find amongst us these Ruwaybida, ignorant people? Ignorant what? Not ignorant of chemistry or biology or medicine or engineering. Ignorant, the worst type of ignorance is ignorance of Allah, ignorance of His Messenger, ignorance of the Deen of Islam. This is the ignorance, the worst ignorance. And you find today, in many places where you go all over the land, the committee, mosque committee, are who? The brothers of knowledge? The sisters of knowledge? Well, not the mosque committee, inshallah. The brothers of knowledge? No. Who are they? Doctor this, professor that, such and such this. But do they know? Do they have ilm? Do they have knowledge of the deen? Have they studied sharia? No. Al-Ruwaybida. And they speak out. You go to any sitting, in any place, and people will sit down and they will talk about the affairs of the Muslims. Oh, the Muslims this, or such and such this, and this is happening there, and this is happening there. And you ask them a simple question about the deen, they don't know anything. They know hardly anything. Al-Ruwaybida. They speak out. And don't you find it today? We see the problem is we don't see it. A truthful man comes to you, he's not believed. Why is he not believed? Huh? Maybe he says something you don't like to hear it. He says something about the mosque committee being composed of doctors and professors who don't know the deen. And maybe the mosque committee, I'm not talking about this mosque, I don't know anything about the mosque committee here, so please don't think I am, but I know plenty in England. If you go and say that, they don't like it. So the truthful one is disbelieved. The trustworthy one, they think he's treacherous. This is how it is. I know I'm seeing it with my eyes. This is the type of situation we find ourselves in. So if there is any type of environment that precedes the Dajjal, this is what the Sunnah speaks about. There is nothing about, you know, the dollar bill, and you will find a piece of money, a piece of paper with a pyramid with one eye, and this is such and that. We're talking about the system of the Dajjal. There is no evidence from that, about that, from the Quran and the Sunnah. And these people are not, if you find a person saying this and mentioning these things, where is his proof? Where is his evidence for what he is saying? This is the type of very dangerous type of way of looking at the Quran and the Sunnah. Very dangerous. These, in fact, you will find, are not the people you're going to take the benefit and the knowledge from. This is the very type of mentality that is going to allow you to be misled by Ad-Dajjal. Some people say Ad-Dajjal is the television. You see, Ad-Dajjal has got one eye and it's like a floating grape. And you see, the television looks like a floating grape. Well, you know, the same hadith also says that he's got curly hair. Does the TV have curly hair? But you find people making this type of... And yes, it's true, the TV does seem to have some attributes of Ad-Dajjal. It seems to be everywhere. It causes corruption. It's a great fitna, yes. But it's not Ad-Dajjal. Because at the end of the day, all of kufr, is a fitna. All of kufr has some temptation in it to lead you astray. So of course Ad-Dajjal is inviting you to kufr. There's going to be similarities with other things that are evil, that are bad. There's going to be some similarities. But to say this is Ad-Dajjal and this is the system of Ad-Dajjal. The TV, the Ad-Dajjal will not be able to go to Medina. Aren't there TVs in Medina? Yes or no? So what is this? Now let us stick to what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling us, and let us forget these fanciful type of explanations, dangerous type of explanations that we find going on. We will benefit ourselves, brothers and sisters, by leaving this hocus-pocus, fiddly stuff that we all like to get into it, and we love to talk about the great Masonic conspiracy and the Zionist this and the Dajjal that and all that. Let us just go to the Quran. Let us go to the authentic hadith. Let us look at the explanation of the scholars. And this is the equipment, this is the weaponry that we need to arm ourselves with. And I also want to mention another thing. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that there will be 30 Dajjals. There will be 30 Dajjals. There is one big Dajjal, Masih al-Dajjal, but there are 30 Dajjals. Musaylama al-Kadhab was one of them. The Prophet said he is one of them. Musaylama the liar. Musaylama was a man who lived in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he claimed that he was a messenger of Allah. He claimed he was a messenger of Allah. Now, when Musaylama claimed he was the messenger of Allah, was he preceded by a system? A Dajjal system? No. If we look to the history, we find Islam had become victorious. Islam had taken over the whole of the Arabian Peninsula. So from the situation where Islam had become strong and become established, this Dajjal came. So we don't know. Maybe a Dajjal will come in a time when seemingly, maybe politically or economically, Islam is strong, strong in numbers, and maybe a Dajjal will come in this time. Maybe he's not preceded by a system at all. Except, of course, that the conditions will be right, in the sense that the liars will be believed, and he is a great liar. He is a great liar. A Dajjal is definitely a person. A Dajjal is definitely an individual. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam described him. So let us now mention the description of a Dajjal. He has been described as being huge, huge and fat. Huge and fat. So he is very big and he is also fat. His neck is like the branch of a tree, presuming meaning sort of sticking out. He has curly hair and a ruddy complexion. He is blind in his left eye, and his right eye, he's blind in his left eye, and his right eye is like a floating grape, like a grape floating on water. It will have a very ugly appearance. So he is known as the one-eyed liar. He is known as the one-eyed liar. And as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, a Dajjal is blind in one eye, and your Lord is not the one who is blind in one eye. He's not the one who is one-eyed. This is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. So he is the one-eyed liar. This is his physical description. He will originate from Khurasan. He will originate from Khurasan. His parents will be Jews. But he will begin his fitna, he will appear between Syria and Iraq. He will appear between Syria and Iraq. This is where he will appear. This is where he will appear. And these are some descriptions now, brothers and sisters, of the fitna that he will bring. First, Ad-Dajjal will appear as a tyrant ruler. Second, he will claim that he is a prophet of Allah. He will claim he is the messenger of Allah. And then he will claim that he is Allah. He will call people to a false religion. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that he will claim that he is Allah, but you will not see Allah in this life. He will claim he is Allah, but you will not see your Lord in this life. And he has one eye, and your Lord is not one-eyed. This is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. So he will claim he is Allah, and he will call people to his false religion. He will have with him a hellfire and a paradise. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam also described they will have with him a river of water and a river of fire. Whether these are the same things, the river of fire is his hellfire and the river of water is his paradise. We don't know if it's the same or if it's different, but that's what the Prophet ﷺ said. He will have a river of fire and a river of water. He will have a hellfire and a paradise. So he will call people to his paradise, and those people who disagree with them, he will put them in his hellfire or in his fire of water. So the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever goes to his paradise will go to the fire, and whoever goes into his fire, they will go to paradise. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that if a Dajjal puts you into his fire, then recite the first 10 verses of Surah Al-Kahf and it will be made cool for you as the fire was made cool for Ibrahim. The first 10 surahs of, first 10 ayahs of Surah Al-Kahf. So brothers and sisters, we should all know that knowledge, we don't come and get knowledge in order that we're like encyclopedias. I have now put some more information in my brain. You see, look how much information I'm collecting. No. Knowledge is something that we learn in order to benefit us and act upon it. Yes? So brothers and sisters, if you believe in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and you believe in what he said, then at least one thing I ask all of you to go away and do is go away and learn the first 10 ayahs of Surah Al-Kahf. Because we don't know whether we will live to see a Dajjal. At least go and do that. Take benefit from the knowledge. A Dajjal, another great fitna that he will bring, and he will have many miracles, many karamat, or many miracles. And this is another very important thing to realize. Very important, brothers and sisters, especially in this day and age. When we look to the lands of the Muslims, very often we find that the people, whether they are the ignorant, illiterate people, and even the educated people, they follow a man because he does miracles. They follow a man because he does miracles. He may be lying against Allah and His Messenger. He may be lying, like I know for a fact. I know for a fact myself. There is a man, and I will name him. His name, they call him Sheikh Nazim. This man I know for a fact because I used to, in my early days, be a follower of him, and I used to read his books. He claims to get revelation from Allah. He claims to know the unseen. His followers claim that he knows the unseen. One of them said, oh, my niece went to this man and the daughter was ill, and they left the daughter in the car and they went, and he said, oh, how is your daughter? She will get better, don't worry. So they said, oh, how does he know that the daughter, we have a daughter and that she's ill? Well, because he's a shaitan. And because he cooperates with the shaitan, he knew from his shayateen where the daughter was. Does he know the knowledge of the unseen? If you look to what he teaches and you look to what he says, he is calling to shirk and kufr. But people believe him because he does these miracles. A Dajjal will come and he will do miracles. If you think that a man is pious because he does miracles, then you will be a follower of a Dajjal. I guarantee it. You will be a follower of a Dajjal. As Imam Ash-Shafi, he used to say, his students came to him and they said to him, we will not believe in a man and we will not listen to what he has to say, even if we see him walking on the water, until we look and we see what is his aqidah, what is his belief. And Imam Shafi said, no. He said, you made little of this matter. He said, even if you see him flying in the air, don't believe what he says and don't listen to what he says until you check what is his aqidah. If you're one of those ignorant people who doesn't understand what is shirk and what is tawheed, what is sunnah and what is bid'ah, you don't know and you don't understand these things, How many of these people claim, directly or indirectly, they are Allah? How many people claim that their imams have knowledge and power that only belongs to Allah? They may not say, He is Allah, but they say, He knows ilmul ghayb. He knows the knowledge of the unseen. He has the power over the atoms of creation, as Khomeini said about the 12 imams. He has power, they claim, these imams have power over the atoms of creation, brothers and sisters. This is what he said. Who has power over the atoms of creation? Only Allah. How can you claim such a thing about a human being? This is saying that these people have Allah's power. But then the people, don't make fitna, brother. Don't make fitna, brother. They're our brothers, they're Muslims. Astaghfirullah. What is left? When a Dajjal comes, what is left? He will come. And if people accept his religion, then he will cause the rain to fall. He will cause the rain to fall. And the cows will come back from the fields, fat. Their udders bursting. That he will call the treasures will come out of the earth like bees swarming out of a nest. This is what will happen when people accept a Dajjal. And when they reject him, he will cause famine. Famine to take place, so that people will starve to death if they refuse to follow his religion. He will come and he will say to a man, do you believe that I am Allah? Do you believe I am your Rabb? Your Rabb, your Lord, your Cherisher, your Provider? Won't it seem like He's your Lord and Cherisher Provider? That He can come, bring rain, cause the animals to get fat, or He can deprive you? It will seem like it. To the ignorant one, it will seem like it. He will come to a man. He will say, do you believe I am your Rabb? Do you believe it? And you know what he will say? He will say, no, I don't believe it. He said, what if I resurrect your parents? What if I bring your parents to life? He said, if you bring my parents to life, I will believe that you are my Rabb. There's a Chevrolet LIC, something, license plate, right? 143X0C. You're blocking other people. And it's a Quebec. Quebec plate as well. ZRK866 in the fire route. Brothers and sisters, I don't know what to say. Muslims should not behave like that. Taqillah. So please go and move your car straight away if it's you, inshallah. So brothers, sisters, Ad-Dajjal, this is the fitna that he will cause. He will come to a man. Imagine, he'll say to him, if I bring your parents to life, will you believe me? He said, yes, if you can resurrect my parents. But he's like these people, these magicians, these false liars, these Dajjals that live amongst us today, they're just tricks, they play with the jinn. And what will a Dajjal do? He will get two jinn to take the form of his parents. And they will come from the ground. And the jinn will say, oh my son, in the form of his parents, believe in him because he is your Rabb. So he will be fooled. And he will follow a Dajjal. Imagine if that happened to you. I wonder how many of you, you'll start thinking, wait a minute, this is amazing. This is, you know, subhanAllah. Who will be saved from this fitna? Who do you think will be saved from such fitna? Huh? Who do you think? You think those people who believe Allah is everywhere and in everything, and everything is a shade of Allah? Huh? This glass is a shade of Allah. I am a shade of Allah. You're a shade of Allah. Everything is Allah, and Allah is in everything. SubhanAllah, it'd be very easy to convince someone like that that a Dajjal is Allah. He's just got a lot more of Allah in him than anyone else. Right? Won't be hard to fool someone like that. How many Muslims believe that type of nonsense? Shirk and kufr. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. So he will come, and there will not be a place, brothers and sisters, not one town, except a Dajjal will go to that town. Conquering town after town after town, fortress after fortress. There will be two cities in the whole of the face of the earth where a Dajjal will not be able to go. Mecca and Medina. Why? Because at the gateways to Mecca and Medina, there are angels with their swords drawn. They will not let a Dajjal enter into it. But a Dajjal will go and he will wait at the outskirts of Mecca and Medina. And there will be two earthquakes that will take place in Medina. In the first earthquake, all the kafirs, they will leave Medina. And in the second earthquake, all the munafiqs and all the sinners, the open sinners, the fasiqs, they will leave Medina. And only the believers will be left. One of the companions asked when the Prophet ﷺ was describing a Dajjal. And they were, like I said, they used to be frightened when they used to hear these things. They used to be frightened. He said, look, if I am here, when a Dajjal comes, I will contend with you against him. But if I am not there, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect you. This is a very important point I want to mention here. It also proves that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not have the ilm of the ghaib. He did not have the knowledge of the unseen, except what Allah gave to him. Unlike what some mushrik say, they say the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has the total ilm of the ghaib, he knows the ilm al-ghaib. This is shirk. Only Allah has the total ilm al-ghaib. He only knows what Allah gave to him. Because he said, if he comes when I'm here, meaning he didn't know. He didn't know whether he would come in the Prophet's time or he would come later. He didn't even know, the Prophet asked him, when the hour would be. Maybe the day of judgment would come almost immediately after he passed away. A Dajjal might come in his lifetime. In fact, he used to hide and he used to look at a man called Ibn Sayyad when he was a little boy. He was just reaching puberty. He used to look at him because he used to think that this man was a Dajjal. This boy was a Dajjal. And even Umar wanted to kill him. Umar wanted to chop his head off. And the Prophet said, no, if he is a Dajjal, you won't be able to kill him. And if he's not, then you're just killing an innocent person. So the believers, they're going to be safe. They're going to be safe because of their correct understanding and because of their implementation of their correct understanding. Because they are the worshippers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. Because they understand what is shirk and kufr and what is tawheed and iman. So a Dajjal will not confuse them, although a Dajjal will confuse many, many, many people. And amongst his followers will be many Muslims. And also 70,000 Jews from Isfahan, they will be his followers. So this is the fitna that a Dajjal will come. And anyway, one of the companions asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how about the Arabs? Where will the Arabs be at that time? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, they will be few, but they will be in Bayt al-Maqdis. They will be in Bayt al-Maqdis. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then went on to tell us that after Ad-Dajjal has caused this fitna and he has gone through the earth, then Isa ibn Maryam, and this is another of the major signs of the Day of Judgment, is the descent of Isa ibn Maryam. That Jesus, Isa ibn Maryam, the son of Mary, he will descend on a white minaret in the east of Damascus. His hands will be resting on the shoulders of two angels. He will be dressed in saffron robes. His hair will be straight, and it will be dripping as if it is full of oil. As if it's sweat, and when he holds his head and he puts his head up, the droplets of the sweat will spread. Any kafir who smells the smell will die immediately. He will descend on this white minaret in the east of Damascus. Then he will go to Bayt al-Maqdis, where the people, and according to most of the scholars of hadith, they say that the people in that time will be led by Al-Mahdi. The Imam there will be Al-Mahdi. Although some of the hadith don't actually mention the Mahdi, but there's some reasons, strong reasons to connect this Imam with Al-Mahdi. That he will be there and he will be about to leave the people in Salatul Subh. And Isa alayhi salam will come. And the Imam will invite Isa to lead the people and he will say, no, the Iqamah was made for you. So he will tell him to lead the people in the prayer. And this Imam will lead the people in the prayer. When they finish the prayer, Isa alayhi salam will open the gate of Bayt al-Maqdis, and Ad-Dajjal will be standing there with 1,000 Jews who are armed with shields and swords. By the way, this also proves, brothers and sisters, that the fighting that will take place at that time will be with shields and swords, and we don't believe they are anything else. This civilization, without any doubt, is going to end. And as I'm sure, if you think about it for 5 minutes, it could end tomorrow, easily. Easily. We could actually give a whole lecture on how quickly this whole civilization could end. But just think about, what was it, in 1976 or whatever it was, when there was a blackout in New York, and see what happened. So anyway, they will be waiting there. But when Ad-Dajjal sees Isa, Ad-Dajjal will begin to dissolve, like salt dissolves in water, and then he will begin to run. And Isa alayhi salam will chase him. Even though he's going to die, Isa alayhi salam will chase him to kill him with his spear. And the hadith says to kill him with his spear. And he will kill him in Lud, in the gate of Lud, which actually is now where Tel Aviv airport is. The gate of Lud, he will kill him there. He will kill Ad-Dajjal there. Now, what is the exact order of what will take place after this? Ad-Dajjal will be killed, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give the Muslims, he will give them power over the Jews. Because these Jews, of course, were fighting with Ad-Dajjal against the Muslims. And this is the time about which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke, when even the rocks and the trees will shout out, O Muslim, there's a Jew behind me, come and kill him. This is the time when that will happen. Then after this time, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that Isa alayhi salam, he will rule as a just ruler for 40 years. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that there will be a period of 7 years, a period of 7 years where there will be such peace, such harmony. Isa alayhi salam, Jesus the Son, he will break the cross. He will break the cross. He will kill the swine. And he will abolish the jizya, and there will be one religion on the face of the earth. That religion will be Islam. There will be one religion on the face of the earth. There will be such a time of peace and prosperity and goodness that the Prophet, even the wild animals and the beasts, the dangerous beasts, they will be subdued. So that a wolf will be able to walk amongst the sheep like a sheepdog. The children will play with snakes. That a child will be able to run after a lion. That the swords will be beaten into, they will be used for plowing the fields. That a horse will be worth nothing. They said, why, O Prophet of Allah, will a horse be worth with some, you know, few dirhams, few dinar or whatever? But the Prophet said, because there will be no more war, and they won't need the horses. And the cow will be worth such and such a great amount of money. Why will the cow be worth such and such amount of money? Because the cows will be used for plowing the fields. So they will be very valuable. This will take place, this time of complete peace, prosperity, happiness, one religion, all of mankind. It will be like this for 7 years. It seems like that. Although I can't say definitely that this is exactly, because the order is not necessarily like this. It seems that it will be like this for 7 years. After that 7 years, and Allah knows best, this is not necessarily the way it is. After that 7 years, it seems to be, but these things will definitely happen, but I'm not sure 100% is this in order. Juj and Majuj. Juj wa Majuj, Gog and Magog, they will appear. They will appear. Now Juj and Majuj are two people, or two tribes of people, who were put behind the barrier by Dhul-Qarnayn. If you read Surah Al-Kahf, you will find the story of Dhul-Qarnayn, which according to the Israeliyat, and if you look in the tafsir of Quran, of some of the Quran, Dhul-Qarnayn was a king who believed in Abraham. He followed Abraham alayhi salam, and he made tawaf with Abraham. And he established justice upon the face of the earth, and his influence spread to many, many different places. So he traveled from the east and he traveled to the west. So when he traveled to one remote part of the world, he found there was a people who were so remote that they didn't understand even a word. They didn't understand a word. And they were being pestered by Juj wa Majuj. So he built a great barrier made of tar and lead and copper. And the Juj wa Majuj, they were not able to climb over it, and they were not able to dig under it, and they were not able to dig through it. But they have been trying for all these years, thousands of years probably. They have been trying to dig through this barrier. But every time they go away, the barrier fills itself in. But a time will come when they will dig and dig and they will see daylight. And when they see daylight, they will say, "We will come back tomorrow and we will finish it, insha'Allah." They never said that before. But when they said, "If God wills it," then the barrier will not fill itself in. And then they will dig their way out. And then the Juj and Majuj, they will come. And they will, their numbers, it seems that their numbers are vast. Because they will pass a particular lake. This lake is called Lake Tiberias. And I've been to Palestine and I've seen this lake. It's absolutely massive. They've sailed boats on it and stuff. Enormous. He says, when the first one passed, the first one goes and they will start drinking. When the last one comes, he will say, "There used to be water in this lake." This is the Juj and Majuj. So they will attack the people and they will attack the people. And Isa alayhi salam and his army, they will go up a certain hill. A certain hill is named, in fact, again in Palestine, the brothers showed me this is the hill here where Isa and his army are going to be up. And they will, and the Prophet said, they will be like held siege there. To the extent that just the head of a cow, they would pay thousands of dirhams just to get the head. And they will chew the leather of their sandals in order to get some flavor, because this is how they will be under this difficult situation. So these Juj and Majuj, they say, "We kill the people of the earth, now we're going to kill the inhabitants of the heavens." And they will fire their arrows up at the heavens. And they will come back, as the Prophet said, coated in something red like blood. This is what the Prophet ﷺ mentioned. So as they are besieging Isa alayhi salam and his army, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will send a worm. And this worm will, or this insect will attack their necks. And in one night they will all die. They will all die. Isa alayhi salam and his army will come down, and there will not be a place on the earth except there is dead bodies. And the stench will be an unbearable stench. So Isa alayhi salam, he will make dua to Allah, and Allah will send birds like the necks of the camels, and these birds will take the bodies and they will pick them up and they will drop them wherever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills them to be dropped. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cause the rain to fall for 40 days and 40 nights. And there will be nothing that is not, except that it is cleansed by this rain. And after this rain, then the earth will once again bring forth its bounties. And the bounty of the earth will be so great that a group of people will eat from a bunch of grapes and they will be full. That the people will be able to take shade under the skin of a pomegranate. A group of people will be able to take shade under this. This is how massive the fruit and how great the bounty will be. So this is the situation. Juj and Majuj, they will go, and however long this continues for, presumably the rest of the time of Isa alayhi salam, because he's there for 40 years, he will rule for 40 years. So the rest of the time until the next major sign is the coming of he is the man who is the Abyssinian who will come, and he will take the treasure of the Kaaba, and his name is Vu Suwaykatan. This man is from Abyssinia, and he will come. And he will come to take the cloth of the Kaaba and take the treasure of the Kaaba. So when Isa alayhi salam hears about him, that then Isa alayhi salam will prepare an army to go out and fight him. And at this time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send a breeze. He will send a breeze. And this breeze will go under the arms of every person who has even a mustard seed's worth of iman. And this breeze will go to every place, even if you are deep in a cavern, in a deep mountain. This breeze will come down there and it will take the soul of the person who has even a mustard seed's worth of faith. So all the souls of the people who have even that amount of faith, they will be taken up. And only the most wicked and evil people will remain. And these people will copulate with each other openly like donkeys. The shaitan will come to them in the form of a man, and he will say, won't you do this? And they say, what do you want us to do? And he will tell them to worship the same idols which the Prophet ﷺ destroyed. Upon these people the day of judgment will come. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring the day of judgment. He will bring the day of judgment when there is no one left on the earth saying, La ilaha illallah. Or according to another hadith, there is no one left on the earth saying, Allah, Allah. When no one is left saying, Allah, Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring the day of judgment. The trumpet will be blown and the people will be destroyed. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will resurrect mankind and the day of judgment will begin. These, my brothers and sisters, are the major signs before the day of judgment. Like I said, if we think about these terrifying events, that in some ways there are many events that are happy, there are many events that are terrifying. But brothers and sisters, the absolute reality is that whether they come in our lifetime or not, none of us will be saved except those of us who have been true worshippers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who have clung firmly to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who cling to the sunnah of the Khulafa al-Rashideen, who follow the sunnah of the Prophet, and we take the understanding of the companions, as the Prophet ﷺ himself mentioned about these things. And we keep far away from the innovations. If we do not have this, we don't equip ourselves with this, then we will be amongst those who are led astray, and we will be amongst those who are taken in by either a lesser ad-Dajjal or the great Masih ad-Dajjal. And we seek refuge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from that, and we seek refuge with Allah from the fitna of Masih ad-Dajjal. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. A note here that the first thing that I'd like to mention is that alhamdulillah, there's a sister here. She was a Hindu, and alhamdulillah, she wants to convert to Islam tonight. I think that inshallah, although all the brothers here, alhamdulillah, we share in the joy that mashallah, the sister is converting to Islam. My advice, the sister sent me a note here, so I would just advise the sisters to deal with that yourself. I don't know what the protocol of the mosque is, whether they have some system where they, you know, give a certificate or something like that. But anyway, But the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or the sunnah observed in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is for that individual to go and take a bath, take a ghusl, and put on some clean, pure clothes, and then inshallah take the shahada. So I recommend that the sisters go back and they help the sister to do that inshallah, and they amongst themselves inshallah ta'ala can do that. If that is difficult for her to do that, then they could just take her shahada right now. All she has to do is to say that she testifies and bear witness that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone is worthy of worship, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave and messenger.
MashaAllah.
This of course is a topic in itself. However, concerning the Christians, it is true the Christians are waiting for the return of Isa ibn Maryam. The Jews are waiting for the coming of their Messiah, because they do not believe that Isa alayhi salam is al-Masih. Now some of them have a good reason to believe that Isa is not Masih, because they think, many of them think that Jesus claimed to be God and he claimed to be the Son of God, so they know that he can't be the Masih, because anyone who claims to be Allah is not a Messiah, he's a Shaitan. So this is what they believe. However, when Isa alayhi salam comes, he will clarify the matter that he is free from such a lie, free from such a blasphemy. So this matter will be clarified to the Jews, it will be clarified to the Christians, so there will be no excuse anymore for a Jew to stay a Jew or for a Christian to stay a Christian. That is why Isa alayhi salam will break the cross and he will kill the swine and he will abolish the jizya. He will abolish the jizya because the jizya is the tax that is paid by the non-Muslims to the Muslims in an Islamic state. But there will not be any more non-Muslims, so there will be no more jizya. That's why Isa alayhi salam will abolish it. As for they're expecting the coming of Isa in the year 2000, this actually, if you look into it, is really quite funny, because the calendar that we observe today is called the Gregorian calendar. Okay? It's called the Gregorian calendar because it was implemented in the time of Gregory the Great, who was a pope. And in fact, the calendar was actually calculated by a man called, I think his name was David the Small. Okay? Well, I don't know why he's called David the Small, but there he was a monk or something like that. He was called David the Small, and he calculated and made this calendar. Why? Because the Christian calendar, Easter, every single year kept slipping back. So instead of Easter being in springtime, Easter was moving and moving and moving back and back and back into winter. It became a big problem. So they realized that there's something wrong with the old calendar they were using, so they need to readjust it. So this guy decided that we should start our calendar from the day of the birth of Jesus. Unfortunately for the whole Christian world, the guy calculated the birth of Jesus and he got it wrong, according to some calculations by 18 years, some calculations by 7 years, and some calculations by 4 years. But it's agreed that he got it wrong. So actually, the year 2000, according to meaning 2000 years since Isa alayhi salam was supposed to be born, actually happened in 1996. So these Christians were waiting for the year 2000 for Isa to come because they claim that their books prophesy that Jesus is going to come after the millennium, whatever. Then unfortunately it already went by 4 years ago, or according to some of them 18 years ago. But anyway, I'm sure you won't convince a Christian of that because the Holy Spirit and Jesus and all the rest of it, right? And you can't really talk much sense into most of these people. They don't really believe that Jesus is coming back because there's some logical reason for it. They believe it because, you know, they are in this level of despair. Of course, their religion doesn't give them anything sensible to believe in. So they pin their hopes on this belief that Jesus is going to come back. It's very, by the way, very widespread. Many, many of these fundamentalist Christians really believe that Jesus is going to be coming back in the year 2000. But as for us Muslims, we have absolutely no idea when this is going to take place. Absolutely no idea when it is going to take place. Of course, we have some of the signs, but we don't have any idea. So we certainly don't share their viewpoint about the year 2000. This means that Islam began as something strange. Islam began as something strange when the Prophet ﷺ came to call the Quraysh and to call the people and all of mankind indeed away from the false gods to the worship of Allah alone. Because remember, the people in Arabia believed in Allah. They believed Allah was the Rabb. They believed that Allah sent down the rain. They believed Allah caused the crops to grow. They even used to pray to Allah. They believed in Allah. But they used to make shirk with Allah. They used to make others equal with Him, either by giving them some of Allah's names, or some of Allah's attributes, or some of Allah's power, or they gave to the creation, or they performed to the creation acts of ibadah that they should only have performed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like making dua or seeking intercession. Because the Arabs in the time of the Prophet, they didn't used to pray to their idols because they believed that Al-Lat and Al-Uzza could bring them rain or bring them benefit. They pray to them as intermediaries between them and Allah. Just like some Muslims pray to dead saints. Just like Christians pray to Saint Christopher and pray to Saint Anthony. It's the same shirk. The same shirk. So now you find that Islam came as something very strange. Are you making all the gods into one god? Are you saying now we should just pray directly to Allah? This was something very strange to them. And to tell you the truth, brothers and sisters, it's very strange today. You go to most of the Muslim lands, and the people, they go to the graves of dead people. Oh, saint such and such, oh holy man, you are a holy man, ask Allah for this, ask Allah for that. Ya Rasulullah, Ya Fatima, Ya Hassan, Ya Hussein, Ya Ali, Ya Abdul Qadir al-Jilani, praying, seeking the intercession of these people between them and Allah. In fact, today, some of the Muslims have made worse shirk than even the Arabs, the pagan Arabs in the time of the Prophet. They believe that, some of them believe, as I mentioned, that some of these imams, they are the qutb of the universe, and they have creation, and they have control over the creation, they have power over the creation, that they actually control affairs. Did they actually believe this? Like I mentioned, what Khomeini wrote in his book, explaining the beliefs of the Adna Sharia Shia, he wrote this about the 12 imams, that they have power over the atoms of the universe. This is a type of shirk even the pagan Arabs didn't do. So now when you come and you say this, it's very strange to hear you say this, brother. You are making fitna. Subhanallah. Calling people away from shirk is now making fitna. Calling people to tawheed is making fitna. And now you see, Islam is a stranger. Islam is a stranger. It came as a stranger, and it's going to come back, because surely it is going to come back. Even though the innovators, even though the mushriks, even though the munafiks, even though they hate it, Islam is coming back. And it's going to come back as something strange. That's the reality. Because it wouldn't have to come back. If it wasn't strange, it wouldn't have to come back, would it? It would already be there. So we find now today, brothers and sisters, the sunnah is strange. The sunnah is strange. Yes, we have our customs, we have our traditions, we have the ways of our forefathers, but the sunnah is very, very strange. I'll give you one example. If you said to most people today, do you know that it is a sunnah to pray with your shoes on in the mosque? Astaghfirullah! You're a kafir to say that. Wallahi, we heard this. Wallahi, thumma wallahi, we heard this. You're a kafir to say that. They accused actually the Prophet and his companions of being kafirs. Because this is authentically reported, and we'll prove to you, anyone who wants to know, it is authentically reported that the Prophet and his companions used to pray with their shoes on, and the Prophet told his companions and ordered them, pray with your shoes on and be different from the Jews and the Christians. And they used to pray with their shoes on in the mosque, in Medina, in Masjid an-Nabi. Do that today, brothers and sisters, and you see what happens to you. Because the sunnah is strange. The people who follow sunnah, they are called innovators. And the people who could follow innovation, they are called followers of sunnah. This is the reality. I'll give you one example, and we could be here all night giving examples. So do you see now what I mean? You see now what I mean? Alhamdulillah.
Can we take a few more questions, inshallah, and then we finish? The question asked of claims that all of these hadith that you mentioned about the signs are ahad narrations. How can you take these narrations as a matter of your belief?
This is an issue that is one of the issues that I talked about yesterday. And those people who claim that ahad hadith are not valid in aqidah, they are amongst those people who are the destroyers of Islam and destroyers of the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They have no proof, they have no evidence, they have conjecture. Instead of judging with the sunnah, they judge the sunnah. An ahad hadith is valid
for aqidah and ahkam. If it is authentically reported from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that means the Prophet said it, that means the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam believed in it, and that means his companions believed in it, and for myself, I believe in what the Messenger believed in, and I believe in what the companions believed in. If it is authentic, and it is from the Prophet, whether it is mutawatir or whether it is ahad, there is no difference. And there is no evidence to differentiate between accepting ahad hadith in aqidah or ahkam. There is no difference. There is no evidence to prove that there is a differentiation between aqidah and ahkam in the ahad hadith. The single, that means ahad means not mutawatir actually. An ahad hadith is anything which is not mutawatir. It could actually be reported by 5 people or 10 people or 1 person or 2 people. Mutawatir means it's the hadith is transmitted by an uncountable number of people. In fact, so many people that it is absolutely impossible that they could have conspired to make a falsity in this regard. However, the science of hadith, the scholars who have preserved the hadith, who have thoroughly examined the chains of narrators and the texts and so on and so forth, then we have through this sufficient surety that what we have with us by way of authentic hadith, ahad hadith, whether it is ahad or mutawatir, but ahad hadith, is acceptable as knowledge. And we take it as knowledge. In fact, if we were to say that we will only take from hadith mutawatir, then what will be left of Islam? What will be left of Islam? What will be there left to believe in? Most of what we find we talked about today will not be accepted as aqidah. But if we go to the books of the early Muslims, As-Sunnah of Imam Ahmed, Fiqh al-Akbar of Abu Hanifa, Aqidah Tahawiyyah, Shahr al-Sunnah of Barbahari. We go to these early books of Aqidah, we find all of these things mentioned, as these are the things that the people of Sunnah, we have Aqidah in them. It is only the Khalaf, the people who came later, the rationalists, the Mu'tazila, and people like that, they are the ones who introduced this concept and this idea that we will not accept the Ahad Hadith in Aqidah. And this is not something that was accepted by the companions or the early scholars. And what they didn't accept, we don't accept it.
But it's also a question asking, aren't there also small signs or minor signs before the Day of Judgment? The brother actually gave a talk about this a few months ago. Inshallah, the cassette will be available at Dar al-Sunnah and also in the mosque here, as well as the cassettes for this talk and yesterday's talk as well, inshallah.
So please just give me a minute.
Question asked, have not the signs of the Day of Judgment been existent since the beginning of time?
No, what you mean since Adam alayhi salam, or with the beginning of time is what, when Allah first, when Allah created the pen? I don't know what you mean the beginning of time, because I presume that's the beginning of time, when Allah created the pen. So we don't exactly know what this question means, so as the question is written, the answer is no.
Okay, inshallah, we'll take this as a final question. The question asks, can you tell me, is there any proof or any reason to believe that after the Day of Judgment, that is after the Day of Judgment, Allah will create or recreate a new earth, a new world?
There is some evidence from the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will create a new heavens, a new earth, but I don't remember exactly the ayah, inshallah. We'll try and look it up and find it.
JazakAllah khair. We'd like to thank once again the brothers and the sisters and my respected elders for their patience during our talks. We'd also like to thank the brothers who run the mosque and allowed us to arrange the talks here.